Hey, I'm Butterfly.
Hey, I'm Firefly.
Have you ever wondered if we aren't being told the truth about everything?
What have we been lied to about? Join us as we have conversations and ask questions about everything. We invite you to keep an open mind and consider the unfathomable.
Let's break the chains that enslave our minds. Come on, let's go down the rabbit hole.
What's good, Butterfly?
Firefly, what's going on?
We have a rabbit hole. Yeah. We have a rabbit hole that kind of pertains to Dumbo. It pertains to Dumbo. I love that cartoon.
Dumbo Express.
Dumbo Express. Because what we're talking about today is how people are being dumbed down so that they can be exterminated.
Totally.
Now, we've talked about this a lot, like Idiocracy was a documentary.
Yeah.
But today we're talking about some specific aspects of the dumbing down.
Yeah. So I know I bring up this stuff a lot, like the YouTubers, but I think we really need to get into this specifically. I see so many things happening all around us all the time that are indications that they're really trying to dumb down society by making the kids dumb. Like, they don't want kids to be smart anymore. They're like letting kids graduate when they don't even know how to read or write. And
Pass the test with 40%.
They've lowered like the grading scale at a lot of schools, and
there's no prerequisite for showing up. You can ditch all semester and just kind of show up, get a 40 on the test, and you're good.
Yeah. You'll pass, you'll graduate. And the requirements are like so low that it's like you could basically just be really dumb and you're gonna get by.
And you, like, your smoothie costs $6.46 and you give them a 20 and they look at it and they just go,
they can't do that math.
That's too hard.
No. And like, did you hear all that stuff they were talking about with like math was racist?
So racist.
It's racist.
White supremacy.
So we gotta make it easier. You know,
we just need to have people that kind of don't know how to read and don't know how to do math, because then it's not racist.
Like, let's not, you know, put the emphasis on like actually trying to teach people like and educate them so they know more. No, let's just let them know less, and we're going to make the requirements less so that people are dumber, and then that's okay.
That's it.
Because it's racist. So anyway, I keep seeing these YouTubers, and you know, they do these dumb things, like they have these like challenges, you know, that they have to do, and
the ice bucket challenge,
all these different challenges that are really like, they don't really take a lot of skill or intelligence, you know. No. but like, this is like the big thing to encourage people to do these things, and you're going to be rewarded. So it's almost like you're rewarded for the bare minimum. You're not really doing
epiphany,
much.
Epiphany.
What?
Remember how I was talking about how these social media companies like YouTube and TikTok, they just assign you likes and followers.
Oh, yeah.
All of that is artificial.
Yeah.
You know? So what if they reward the ice bucket challenge video with a bunch of likes and a bunch of followers?
Yeah.
So people get rewarded for that behavior, and it encourages that.
I think they totally do. Yeah. Because not only do they probably do that, but there's no way that some of these people, like, you know, like there's these huge YouTube people like Mr. Beast and stuff. There's no way that they organically have millions of followers. I think it's pretty obvious that they've been foisted on us, just like all of like the media and controlled opposition.
Yeah.
These people have been foisted on us for a reason. They want kids especially to watch these guys and try to emulate them, be like them, and be like, oh, all I have to do is like play this video game or whatever. And then like, look, I could be rich and famous. And, you know, it's like, I don't know. One of the big things that they do is, this just kills me, they play a video game And then it's like the video of them playing the video game. So the people watching, they aren't even playing the game.
No.
They're just watching this other guy play the game. But now what I've seen also happening is, so sometimes these guys are playing a video game, but sometimes they're just like commentating on like other people's videos. So they're not even making the videos, but they're just like commenting on like, you know, the videos that they found on Instagram or something. And this is what people like to watch. But now I've also seen some of these guys are watching somebody playing a video game, and this is what they're showing. So the people watching YouTube are watching a guy watching a video game and commenting on it.
Yeah.
So it's like third party, you know, participation. Like, you're not participating, and neither is the guy that's actually like in this video with millions of followers. He's just watching somebody else do it. And this is entertainment, and this is what kids are doing now. And it's sad.
It's not preparing them for the very challenging world that they're going to be growing up into.
No.
They're going to come of age in this world that's run by that people from that country from 1948, that's strictly micromanaged worldwide. It's a digital prison. They're going to have to really be smart and competent to break out and to not be slaves.
Totally.
But that is making them conducive to becoming slaves.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I had another idea.
What?
When you're talking. So, like, popularity is not organic anymore.
Right.
And I think people are conditioned to just accept that.
Yeah. Because
there's nobody makes up their own mind.
Yeah.
Because so popularity is just not organic. So what people eat is what they're fed. Mm-hmm. This person has lots of followers. Look, it's Candace Owens.
They're popular.
Candace Owens is the number one podcast in
the world.
So it must be good.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we're conditioned to just understand that popularity is not organic. And we are supposed to just like the people who are told to like.
Yeah. Well, okay. That brings up an interesting point that I wanted to talk about too. So I think a lot of this AI stuff is, you know, they have like ChatGPT now, which I've never even used, but I guess you can just ask it anything and it'll do whatever. Like, you could ask it basically to write a term paper essay for you or a report, and it'll just do the whole thing, you know. And that's how I think a lot of these websites and, you know, even history books and things are written. They just like plug in some names and it changes the whole thing for you.
Yeah.
But with this, like, it's encouraging kids to, so they don't want people to think. They don't want you thinking, because if you're thinking, you might start asking questions. They don't want you thinking. But with AI, you don't have to think. You don't have to think at all, because you literally can just ask AI and it'll do all the thinking for you. So not only are, you know, kids being conditioned to, you know, I mean, you use a calculator to do your math. With texting now, you don't have to spell. And you know what I've been noticing?
Oh, yeah.
This is so weird. There's this whole new, remember, what was it called? Ebonics was like this black slang.
Let me ask you a question.
And it was like this whole slang that people were using. There's kind of like this new slang, and it's like text.
Yeah.
So you don't have to know how to spell anymore, because you start writing something on your phone and it just automatically spells it for you.
Yeah.
But also what's I started noticing is, like, I guess the trendy thing with kids is to spell something like the way it sounds, but without some of the letters. So it's like phonetically correct, but it's missing letters. Like if you were texting, it's almost like license plate language.
That's right.
You know how on a license plate you leave out letters because you can only have seven spaces?
Yeah.
It's like that. Like, they're
right. It's like America, but with no E's, I's, or A's.
Yeah.
It's almost like we leave vowels out now.
Yeah. We just like put in the bare minimum letters to get the point across. So kids are being conditioned to be able to get their point across by writing this way. And I'm kind of wondering if this is going to be accepted in the future as, like, you know, like in dictionaries and stuff, as like an acceptable, okay way to spell.
Well, they're being conditioned, because what about, like, take some 16-year-old kid who's like listening to Joe Rogan. And he's like, oh, Joe Rogan's cool. My dad likes Joe Rogan. And what does Joe Rogan say? Dude, just, you shouldn't even bother to write poems
or oh, yeah.
books. Or, you know, don't write scripts. Because, dude, in the time it took you to walk up the stairs to my podcast, AI wrote 300 scripts.
Yeah.
You don't have, no, just, we're fucked.
Yeah.
And so the kid's just going, oh, so I shouldn't even bother to think for myself. I should just write my term papers with ChatGPT and go watch videos of people playing video games.
Right.
And just that's the way I should live. And then I'll get lots of followers. I just follow, you know, Joe Rogan said we're fucked, so we might as well just live accordingly.
Yeah. And AI has all the answers.
AI.
They have all the answers.
And plus, you know, don't worry about the fact that AI is the Ministry of Truth.
Right.
AI is the Ministry of Truth. Yeah. So what did Winston do in the Ministry of Truth? Remember, it was your favorite part of that book.
I know.
What did he do?
2 + 2 = 5.
He said, I'm curating history.
Oh, that part. Yes. He said, I'm rewriting history day by day, minute by minute.
That's AI.
Yeah.
That's what AI is doing.
That's what they're doing.
So they don't want you to think for yourself. No. They want you to just go, look, look, look. Here's your worldview. But it's also part and parcel with this episode is corralling you into a 15-minute city to die.
Exactly.
That's part of the dumbing down here.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's another aspect of it of not only do you not think for yourself, but we're going to tell you, you know, the takeaway. And the takeaway is, first of all, don't think for yourself, but also stop eating meat, and you don't deserve to have a house, and you shouldn't have a car. Just live in your 15-minute city, eat Wingstop, and ride your e-bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's...
Poor kid. He's just like riding his e-bike to Wingstop and just completely retarded. He doesn't know how to do math. He doesn't have a concept of any kind of history. He doesn't know whether he's on a flat earth or a round earth. He doesn't know where Oregon is.
I'm sure he thinks he's on a round earth because that's what he's been conditioned to believe in school.
Has he even been taught about that?
I don't know. Maybe
these
not.
Days they're not even taught that. They're just basically like, you know what they're really, really abreast of is what is politically incorrect.
Yeah.
They really know that.
And also the big thing that's important is the Earth Mod. Earth modification.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to stop driving cars. And they're really abreast in all that stuff, but they're not really thinking for themselves. So a young person these days, they're kind of just filled with a bunch of meaningless
nothing
in their mind.
Yeah, it's like Idiocracy.
It's like Idiocracy. But
that was like a documentary.
It was only a documentary. It's the thing that's scary about it, though, in my opinion, is they're going to come of age in this gnarly time where people don't realize it, but we are in a war for human freedom right now.
We are.
It's a war for human freedom. And people need to have very acute situational awareness. And they need to have very acute discernment about the information that they're getting. But the opposite is happening.
Exactly.
People's heads are shoved up their butt. And they have no discernment. They just eat what they're fed.
You know what? That's all by design.
Totally.
Because if people are smart and they're asking questions, you know, not everybody, but some people will be wondering what's up and question these problems and these things that are happening. But if you have the majority of the population just like dumb and like numb and they can't even do simple math, they're not going to be asking bigger questions or wondering what's going on. They're just going to like need the media and the government to tell them what to do because
you know
they
what
can't
they're
figure
do?
It out.
They're going to get way into the Dodgers and they're going to watch the Dodgers
or whatever.
And then Dodgers season's over. Now it's football. Mm-hmm. Now I'm into football.
Yeah.
And then football ends. I got basketball. And then not only that, but then I also, you know, I go to African American Friday and I buy a bunch of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Like these people, not only are they not thinking for themselves, but they're getting kind of guided into like these new things, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like here, like every day of the year, the media has your focus right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they have your radar screen all filled out.
Right.
today, what are they thinking about? Like, okay, so let's say you have some walker that's actually paying attention to the news. They're going to get caught up in all the false Kool-Aid news stories.
Right.
You know? So what's going on is these people are getting rendered into this state where they're just completely controlled by the media. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to be an idiot to be like that, because if you're smart, I don't know, you might think, well, I'm not going to just take that person's word for it. And if you're smart, you're thinking for yourself, you might come to the conclusion, wait, that doesn't sit right with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. And the other problem is, you know, this world that we're living in is kind of becoming a dystopia that they've depicted in movies, which I think is predictive programming.
Totally.
They've shown, like, scenes and things in movies where we're just like, the characters are just like living in this like post-apocalyptic dystopia. And so, you know what movie that I think of is Ready Player One. You didn't see that one.
I haven't seen that, but you told me it's Steven Spielberg. He's one of the cult priests.
Totally. So this movie is totally like this. Like, it's like a post-apocalyptic world that all these people are living in. Like, they're stacked on top of each other. Like, I guess it's like a 15-minute city gone awry, you know? Like, they're just packed in. And it's this horrible, like, just like a slum. But everybody, like, puts on these, like, they're kind of like VR goggles, and they enter into this alternate world that they are kind of, like, living in that is not really real, but they all have these other personas, you know, like these alter egos.
It's their avatar.
Yeah, so in that world, they can be, like, the geeky guy can be, like, this total stud, and he can, like, have this cool name and this cool outfit, and he can get the hot chicks and stuff. And, you know, it's like,
it's all fake.
It's all fake. But this is what is happening right now as we speak. People are wearing VR goggles and they're living in their little coffin apartments playing these games where they feel like they're in an alternate world.
You know what that makes me think of?
What?
Sirhan. That's like a disassociation.
That's what they're doing. They're
like, you put on your VR goggles. It's like a disassociation. What happened to Sirhan Sirhan? He went into the Imperial Hotel in 1968 and he started firing blindly in a room thinking that he was at a shooting range in San Bernardino. These people, they live in their coffin apartment, but they put on their VR goggles and they're a hot stud going out with a hot chick.
Yeah.
And having some jet-setting lifestyle.
So, oh my gosh, epiphany.
Epiphany.
So what if, like, exactly what you're saying, what if these VR goggle scenarios that people are, like, right now they think, oh, it's just a game. It's like a video game, but it's really realistic. What if this becomes total mind control and they actually believe that they are living in these worlds and they start behaving and doing certain things that, you know, they're being controlled by an outside force?
Yeah. Like, I was thinking Project Bluebeam. Mm-hmm. How easy could Project Bluebeam be pulled off if everyone's living in this disassociated reality?
Yeah.
So now you just go, ET's attacking.
Yeah, or whatever. It could be whatever they decide, like holograms of,
or he's coming back.
Yeah. Martians, like, there could be, like, they could decide that now there's like three moons up there. Oh, we never knew there was another moon. There's a pink moon. And
because Satan loves movies.
Yeah.
Like the Charlie Kirk and the Trump shooting were total movies. Mm-hmm. They love creating these falsehoods that you're supposed to swallow so that they can corral you. So maybe this is part of the corralling to the death.
It's all part of the corralling.
It's put your VR goggles and disassociate, and we'll just lead you like a rat through the streets.
Yeah, totally.
There was that song from Megadeth called Symphony for Destruction. Hmm. And it goes, din, 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 din. And it goes, the chorus is awesome. It goes, just like the Pied Piper led rats through the streets, Dance like the marionettes, swaying to the symphony of destruction.
Whoa.
So he's saying...
That's gnarly.
Dude, like, it was kind of revealing the method.
Yeah.
The Pied Piper is the media, and he leads the rats through the streets to their destruction. Because the story of the Pied Piper was he went into the town, and he played the pipe, and then the rats all followed him out of the town, and he killed them. The media is getting these people in this state where they lead them like rats. What you were talking about today is all of these ingredients are doing that.
Yeah.
That's the big picture. If you're able to go from a 10,000 foot view and look at what's going on, the people are being led like rats through the streets to their demise. But what they're doing is they first... Our education system has been intentionally designed to have people graduate from high school that are retarded.
Yeah.
They don't know how to read and they don't know how to do math and they have no concept of geography. They're not aware of current events. So they're basically retarded.
Yeah.
Now, good.
And they're made to be that way.
Made to be that way. Now, good. Here's your VR goggles and here's your disassociation that you live in.
Totally.
Now I lead you like a rat to your slaughter.
And because they, you know, haven't been taught any of these things and they don't have any like deeper understanding of like much, I think it's a lot easier for them to be lulled into this alternate reality because it's like they don't.
It's not even an alternate reality because that suggests it's a reality.
Right. It's like it's a fake reality.
It's a fantasy.
It's a fake. Yeah, it's a fantasy. And so they've been like kind of lured into that. And because they don't have anything else going on, it's exciting to them.
It's like porn, you know, like if you're a dude and you're watching porn, you're disassociating that you're having sex with that girl in your mind. So you're like sutured into that narrative. That's what it is. Remember we were talking about suturing into the narrative?
Right.
These VR goggles and this whole Ready Player One. Ready Player One is getting sutured into a narrative.
Totally.
So you're living in this dystopian hell, living in this tower. You know what I'm saying? Which makes me think of China during cooties. Remember the people that were like, you're going to have to die from this fire?
We're going to bolt you
in. We've got you bolted in because, you know.
They probably would have loved some VR goggles.
They were just like, dude, I can't leave. So I might as well have my disassociation.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is. It's all a big fantasy. And, you know, you're sitting there. So what we were talking about was when you're sutured into a narrative. So when you go to a movie theater and you watch a movie, you forget that you're sitting in the theater. Now you are mentally 100% in the narrative. So like when you're watching Carlito's Way, you're identifying with what's her name? Penelope Ann Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So you're Penelope Ann Miller now.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer Butterfly sitting in a theater.
Or maybe I'm identifying with...
Every time I try to get out, they pull me back in. You're identifying with him. That's what I did. Yeah. You know, I was like, oh, I feel for Carlito. Yeah. I want to get out of the mob, but I can't. But so what the point is that once you put on your VR goggles, now you're sutured into the narrative.
Right.
And now they can just go ahead and tell you whatever. And you're vicariously living in this fantasy.
Yeah. And it seems real because you're wearing these goggles where you're kind of like, you feel like you're in this world and you're moving around and you're interacting with other characters.
Epiphany.
What?
Do you remember the father and son that you told them to not get the pokies and you went, come on, son.
Yeah.
You go, here's some information. Here's a booklet. This has all of the horrific side effects that come from the pokies and you're about to go get your son this. He goes, I didn't know that. This is very interesting. Whoa. Come on, son.
Let's... anyway.
So I was thinking, like, metaphorically speaking, both the dad and the kid have their
VR goggles on. Yeah, in real life.
And so what they're doing is they're disassociating, and the disassociating data that they're getting from the media is pokies are necessary. Yeah. Cooties are bad.
They've already just accepted that information as fact, and like that's the way they're going. And so whatever other information that you show them, they don't see
it. Doesn't matter. Yeah. And that's kind of the same state that allows for like a tranny to be in line in front of you at Chick-fil-A, and the dad goes, son, do you see him? He's completely acceptable. That guy is healthy American. That's who you want to be. Yeah, just like, matter of fact, your son, start wearing a dress. Be like him. Because that's a disassociation too.
Right.
Because
total disassociation.
You're having to kind of contradict reality. Like the reality is that guy's a freak.
That guy's a guy wearing a
He's a guy dress. Wearing a dress. But no, the dad's telling his son, no, son, that guy identifies as a woman. He's acceptable.
Yeah.
So it's all this big manipulation. And it's all a disassociation. And that's what this whole dumbing down allows. Because if you're stupid, you don't mind living in a fantasy world.
Right.
You're.
It's better than your real world.
Probably. And I think also these people are like incapable of fighting off becoming Eeyore.
Yeah.
Because we talked about that too.
Right.
If you become Eeyore, then you're going to just you're going to go to your disassociation. Because you're going to be like, my life is really miserable. Mm-hmm. I like my disassociation.
My dog's in a wheelchair.
My dog's in a wheelchair. I'm Model 3. Yeah. So anyways, dude, this was a profound, this was your idea.
I know.
And this was a profound one. Steven Spielberg is a total culture club.
He's done like all of the major.
Minority Report.
All of the major like social engineering movies. You know what I mean?
He was the guy who, did you ever see him at the Oscars at one time? And he was like, yes, those people from 1948 control Hollywood. They do. Get over it. Remember?
Well, he is a you-know-who.
Of course. Spielberg. Excuse me.
I am Hollywood.
his grandpa was probably one of the guys who did the, you know, Protocols of Zion.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that's my grandpa.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, my grandpa did the, you know, Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. I was really happy about that, you know. You know, like Steven Spielberg loves communism. He probably thinks North Korea is great.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he'll be at the top. He won't be one of the minions that gets told what to do.
Him and Joe Rogan go hang out and they talk about life extension technologies.
Oh my gosh, Epiphany.
Epiphany?
Maybe Steven Spielberg's scripts are all written by AI.
Oh yeah.
You know, totally. So he's written like 80 whatever scripts in the last, you know, couple years, but he just like had them done by AI, just like Joe Rogan said, in the time it took you to walk up the stairs, like 20 scripts were written.
Yeah, those are the scripts.
Yeah.
Minority Report is what AI writes. Because, you know, that's kind of the concept of the machines becoming like an entity that has their own will and taking over the world.
And we can't control them.
We can't control them.
You know what I heard from somebody that I know who's got a relative that works high up in the government with AI? She said that AI has already completely taken over and all they're doing is trying to control it at this point.
But I mean, it doesn't have to take over if people would just choose to not disassociate.
Well, that's the thing. Like if you have to write a paper or something, you need to use AI. You do the research and write it.
And go do a podcast like us and, you know, deconstruct the lies from, like, you ever go to Wikipedia?
Oh, God.
Wikipedia People
take those as facts.
Well, it's curated by this one fat dude from that country from 1948.
One dude is doing that?
One dude.
Oh, my God.
He curates it all.
And how did he get that position? How did he get that job?
He's in the culture club.
Yeah.
And he was probably like, yeah, no. I'm happy to just lie to people for a living and become Winston in the Ministry of Truth.
2 + 2 = 5. And it says so right here on Wikipedia.
And then he's like responsible for, like, when I say Bilderberg was a conference started by Satan in 1958. They go, excuse me. Well, I have a fact check for you.
Satan's
minions started it. You need to clarify. So that's all this whole rewriting of history. Go do a podcast and break it down. You know, did you hear about, oh my God, I was talking with this, I was watching something. It was somebody talking about that country from 1948, and they're talking about young people these days. Young people these days, they don't give a crap about political correctness, and they're starting to say stuff like, I admire Adolf Hitler because he got rid of that country from 1948 out of their country. And that was really good for Germany. And dude, they're really scared about that because people are starting to reject what the media is telling them.
So that's interesting. So that is that like maybe like the late 20s crowd?
Well, what I think is going on is they're losing their stranglehold on the narrative. And so now you have a bunch of people going, well, I reject that, but we haven't got this cohesive movement yet. I think that's what you and I are formulating. I think our podcast is formulating this movement. And this episode kind of crystallizes who we're up against. Who we're up against is this evil culture club. And they want to make you stupid and lie to you and tell you that you're driving cars and eating meat is causing the earth to die.
Well, it's like nonstop gaslighting. So it's like everything you see with your own eyes that you know to be true, they basically want to tell you it's not true and like just shut up and go eat your Wingstop.
And how does gaslighting work really good is when the ramifications for second guessing the media are so severe that you're just like, no, I don't want that. And then you, if you're scared, then you're going to second guess your own eyes, like you become Ingrid Bergman. Ingrid Bergman goes through kind of a crisis in that movie. What's the crisis? Her crisis is she second guesses her own mind. If the media is imposing stiff penalties for questioning them, then you're probably going to question your own mind. You're going to say, this doesn't feel right, but if I say that, I get punished. So I'm just going to just question my own mind.
It's crazy.
So I think that's kind of the insidious thing about it. So the nature, what's the white pill?
The white pill.
What is white pill for this episode, Butterfly?
Well, you, as always, you just don't go along with it. But I mean, you have to realize the insidiousness of what they are doing. And so I think parents should be proactive in their kids'
That is a
education,
good white pill.
you know, in their kids' education,
Let's
make
break
sure.
that down. Hold on before you go to the next one. How do you do that? Because I'm a parent. I just got done. Well, I don't need to get done. You don't get done parenting, but my daughter's 18. So I've kind of like, legally, I've done. So, anyways, what did I do for the last 18 years? Every day that she went to school, every day, I spend time with my daughter. She's not allowed to just go into her room and close the door and not talk to me. I spend time with her. What'd you learn today? What'd you guys talk about? Tell me class by class. Like right now, she's got Chicano study. And I go, what are you learning about Chicano study? I want to know. Tell me about it. And then I'm going to discuss with her. I'm going to say, that's Kool-Aid. But I don't impose on her what I think. I ask questions and just get her, do you think that's real? Does that sound right to you? Because that's going to be important for parents. You're going to have to engage with your kids and get them critically thinking about what they're being told.
That's right.
What's the next one? What's the next white bill?
Well, I think so that I think is really important
That's
because
huge.
it sounds like what you were mentioning earlier is that a lot of young people, like I guess this would be a little bit older than that, like maybe late 20s, early 30s, are rejecting the
The
idea,
mainstream
the
narrative.
mainstream narrative. So it seems like it's the much younger group that needs to be informed,
Yeah,
you
because I think
know?
the gist of it is millennials, unfortunately, are completely drunk on the Kool-Aid. The whole generation as far as I can see, millennials are drunk on Kool-Aid.
What is I can't keep up with these terms. Is millennial like teenagers right now?
No. Millennials are like people in their 30s and 40s right now.
Oh, okay.
They drink Kool-Aid.
Okay.
All of them drive Teslas and have management roles in culty companies.
So then what are the ones that are rejecting it? What is that?
Generation Z, like young kids now, going to college now.
Okay. And then what's younger than, what are the teenagers right now? What do they follow?
They're like generation, why bother? I don't know. I'm not sure. I lose track, but I know that the what I was reading is, and I saw that. Remember?
Because it seems like it's like there's that little hole in their matrix.
Well,
like,
you know what it is?
A little older and a little younger are drinking the Kool-Aid, but
you know what it is? The millennials are so repulsive that young people are going, you know, because a lot of your worldview is a reaction to something that you think is disgusting.
Right.
People think like that.
Totally.
So you're reacting to something they think is disgusting. So young people are looking at millennials and going, millennials are so obnoxious.
Well, you know what? You made a really good comment a few days ago. You said behavior is driven not by what you want to do, but what you don't want to do.
That's right.
I wrote that down because I thought that was so smart. And
it's
such a
so
good, it's so accurate, because what you're saying right now is, and that explains it, because like they are looking at that group and being like, ew, I don't want to do that.
And so you kind of construct your worldview almost completely in opposition to them. So mm-hmm. now you have kids going and asking J.D. Vance questions and going, why do we send $5 billion a year to that country from 1948 when they hate Christians? I'm a Christian. They hate Christians. Like, you can go watch on YouTube. They don't censor these, obviously. They'll have videos of Christians walking around in that country from 1948 and getting spit on and getting told that you're going to die by a bunch of, like, inbred people from that country from 1948. Have you ever noticed how they're all inbred? They all have messed up teeth and they all have like these horrible health problems and they're just disgusting looking. And they walk around spitting on people who are Christians.
That's weird.
So this 20-year-old is asking J.D. Vance, why are we sending money to them?
Yeah.
And J.D. Vance is going, he's going to Peter Thiel like stuttering.
Yeah.
So
can't say the wrong thing or he'll like lose his funding from his handler.
They're my base. Yeah. So these kids are reacting to the millennials and saying, that's gross. Maybe. And so I think that's our hope. That's our hope, because they're going to reject the mainstream narrative. What we have to be careful of is controlled opposition. Because
mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of them are believing the controlled opposition.
So what the Culture Club has learned is, okay, no, you're right. We are an insidious group of people. So there are going to be people who reject our agenda. So what we do with those people is we go, no, you're right. You're right. But here's your takeaway.
Yeah. They corral our takeaway.
Corral your takeaway. So that's what's probably going to happen to like 20-year-olds. They're going to start getting corralled in their takeaway.
Yeah.
But I like what I'm seeing.
I know. So we got to just be, hands-on with the younger.
Hands-on with the younger
with
people.
Kids.
And I think there's still hope that you can rescue some of the walkers.
Some of the young walkers, I think, can be rescued.
Because, even older walkers.
You know, I didn't really open my eyes to, I mean, I always questioned everything, so I was different in that way. But I didn't, like, open my eyes to the big picture until fairly recently, you know?
No, that's right. So, and that's why I have hope for, see, and then the other thing, like we talked about, is in the American Revolution, only 3% of the people were saying, fuck England. The 97% of the population was like either loyal to England or didn't give a fuck. But once the Revolutionary War started going the way of the Patriots, then everybody jumped on.
Everybody jumps on board. People love to jump on a bandwagon.
They jump on a bandwagon. You know,
that's a good idea.
That's good. I was a redcoat before. I was what they call them? I was a they weren't loyalists. They were called Tories. The Tories were like people who lived in America, but were like, oh no, but King, what was his name? What was the name of the king back then during the Revolutionary War? I can't remember.
You know, they still talk about Tories in England.
Yeah, totally.
They still talk about Tories.
Well, that was kind of like their pride. They're like, we have people in that country over there that are still loyal to us. Yeah. King George.
King George.
King George. So, so they're loyal to King George. You know what I'm saying? I think what happened is the Revolutionary War rebels, they started to win. And then all the Tories started going, they got the power now. So let's just go with them. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen with our movement.
They're going to jump on our bandwagon.
What I want to see, part of the revolution, part of the Renaissance, is a complete deconstruction of AI and Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And a complete reimagining of history.
A Renaissance.
A Renaissance where, you know, maybe we look at Hitler through a different
lens. They're rewriting history all the time anyway.
They are.
How do we know what we read was true? We don't. Unless
everything seems a lie.
Yeah, unless you were there or you know somebody who was there and tells you firsthand. And even then, like I've talked about this before, even then you're going to get that person's opinion of it. Because you could talk to two different people right now about what happened during the Cooties fiasco, and you could get two totally different stories. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Cooties was really scary. I know people who died.
It was so bad. It was like super contagious and everybody was dropping dead all over the place. And then you could talk to like somebody like us and we'd be like, oh, the whole thing was just made up.
Right from the start. It was so disgusting.
Yeah.
You're right. And then that's the thing. So what the nature of our podcast and the nature of this episode, The White Pill, is we have to keep fighting the good fight against the mainstream narrative.
Yeah.
Because the narrative, what's a narrative? A narrative is like a talk track. Mm. It's like, here, this is your reality. And somebody else is telling you your reality.
Exactly. It's so gaslighting.
It's so gaslighting. Yeah. So you have to constantly go to war with what this entity is telling you is your reality.
So that's we feel like the importance is of what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and we're hoping that more people will be having conversations like this or sharing these conversations with more people to start more conversations, because
like things can happen like over the weekend down in Mexico. So down in Mexico, they have this Jewish lady just become the president.
Yeah, that's not organic.
So
that's just not realistic.
So did you have a Catholic country?
No, what happened?
They totally revolted.
What?
How like, it was gnarly.
How did I not know this?
Well, the media doesn't want you to know this.
Yeah, and I don't watch the media anymore.
Well, because, like, the mainstream media, that's like a darling. They love her. They're like, oh, she's so great. Well,
they put her there.
We put her there. She's all from that country from 1948.
The Catholic people in this country, all these Catholics wanted a Jewish woman running their country.
They love her.
Yeah.
But now what's going on is, a lot of the Latinos, they're kind of getting hip to that country from 1948.
Mm.
And then they're probably scratching their heads going, why is this person being like installed above us?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly where the status is now, but it's like a revolution.
Wow. That's exciting.
And that's what can happen. Exciting. When you have enough people, then you can have a revolution.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what, Firefly? I think we're starting a revolution.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't get any views on YouTube.
I know.
Because, you know, the Culture Club.
We only have 20 followers on Instagram.
That's right. The Culture Club does not want us doing this because we are revolutionary.
It's so obvious.
We are their arch rival.
We are.
I love that.
That's kind of cool.
I love that. That should be our new name.
Yeah.
We're arch rival.
Yeah.
Do you have any more white pills that you want to prescribe for this one? Because this is a very profound episode that you came up with.
I don't know. I think maybe we'll come up with some more later.
That's the main thing. Well, the white pills on this one was educate your kids. Make sure that you have your kids having an open mind and not just swallowing the Kool-Aid.
Exactly.
And also try to instill in other adults to keep an open mind and not swallow the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. And I mean, probably if you're listening to this podcast, you have an open mind. But I was just going to say, remember to keep an open mind.
Keep an open mind.
You know?
Yeah, because we've talked about that. You can become a walker.
You can, and you can take a new blue pill.
You can take a new blue.
Like we had our episode on the new blue pill where we talked about that. People who seemed so awake and aware and knew what was going on. And then they just decided to like close her eyes again.
Like the one lady where she was like,
it's too scary.
It's too scary. I'm just going to go to the safety of a fantasy.
Yeah.
And the other one was too, like we were talking about how you can walk too close to the vortex and get sucked in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we're constantly getting sprayed by aluminum particulate.
No kidding.
So,
and mind control.
Mind control. So you have to always be diligent. So the other white pill is keep yourself red-pilled and white-pilled. Keep yourself red velvet cake, because if you become blue-pilled, then you're going to go join the walkers being led to the slaughter.
Led to your demise.
That's a poem. Walker led to the slaughter.
All right. I love it.
Good talking to you.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.